Blog Talk Radio.
About this, because sometimes when people start a small business, they often think they have to go big instead of small. So we want to talk about some ways that we can help you think about things that you can do that can make it lean and mean in your business and still help you build a very big and successful business. Just because a corporation is large does not mean that they're going to, that they have unlimited amount of money to spend and they're going to be elaborate. Any business today has to think in terms of being lean and mean. So let's talk about some of the things that you can think about in your business that you may very well want to cut down and not be so elaborate about. Even advertising today is an area where you can look at having a budget that's on a limited means and still reach as many people as possible. It's just a matter of understanding how to use the internet, how to market, how to mass market. You know, because years ago, media meant TV, newspapers, print ads, direct mail, and those things become very expensive, so that when people would start up a business, they had to think about how they could reach the mass market on a limited budget and still grow. Today, with the internet and blogging and doing things like that, you have options available to you that can help you grow a business on a limited budget. And there's so many ways that you can build a business by affiliate marketing or network marketing where, yes, you have to put up money, but it's still limited, and you don't have to think about how you can do things in a way that can help you grow your business and still be on a budget. So what we want to do is talk about some of those things and how we can help you build a good, strong business and still keep within a budget and still be downsized and still grow as a business. So what we will do is we will take some action and we will put it all into words and we will help you look at how you can still grow your business long term and think about all of the things that you can do. So let's look at your business first. Let's look at what your budget is. Let's look at how you market your business. Where can you take your money and still put it where it's going to make the most effective? And then how can you take and still mass market without having to do things? And, you know, there's today what happens is that the marketplace with network marketing, with blogging, it's all understanding how to use search engine optimization and all about branding yourself using your name. Because you know what? When people get to know you and trust you, then guess what? They will follow you no matter what type of business you have or what type of business you're in. And it's a good way to grow your business, and it's also done on a scale that's much smaller and helps you grow as an individual and still keep your business growing. It's just a matter of understanding how you can do what is best for you, what's best for your business, what's best for everyone involved, and how you can plan some of the things that you do and spread it out over time. It's just a matter of understanding how you do things on a limited budget and plan together a strategy, because that's the biggest thing that a lot of people do not think about, is how are they going to put together a strategy that will help them grow a business long term and still stay within a budget. And lots of times what happens is, guess what? People will put a lot of money into their business thinking that by throwing a lot of money, it's going to come back to them. But, you know, if you really start small and do the things that you truly need to do within your business and then let it grow over time, and don't try to expand too fast. Put things in a perspective that's going to help you grow over a long term in your business and keep you within a budget. And, you know, here's some other things to think about. When you need to understand what your niche is in the marketplace. If you understand your niche and you grow your business according to your niche and find out how you can reach your niche, then you know what? You will grow, and you can do it within your budget and still plan your thing, the things that you need to do, in a way that will help you grow and expand without being overtaxed in your business. And understand the location, because not every location is going to get you what you truly want. So think of all the things that you truly can do that can help you grow your business over the long term. And guess what? You'll probably notice that the nonfiction bestsellers list is jammed with books about happiness. Happy, Happy, Happy is the current top seller. Others include The Secret of Getting Happy and Happy Uprising. There's even one called Happy Money. America's values have changed since the economic crisis began. Americans are yearning to be happy. Stop aspiring to be anyone other than your own best self, for only that falls within your control. As a retiree, I'm always looking for ways to cut expenses without degrading my lifestyle. I illustrated this in my retirement spending plan a while ago. It's a good plan, and it's working, but it wasn't feasible until 2 years ago when Tricia and I downsized. We moved out of the house where we spent the past 25 years. When we moved in, it seemed so big. We had lots of rooms with no furniture. We never thought we would fill it up, but we did, and then some. This is the house where our children grew up. Now we are empty nesters. We wanted to do a lot of the things we had put on hold while we raised our children, like traveling and getting out of Florida during the summer. How to pay for it was the question. The answer appeared when I looked at how much we were spending on the house. It was by far our biggest expense. Many Americans are in the same boat. According to the most recent Bureau of Labor Statistics survey, Americans spend twice as much on housing than they do on anything else. Housing expenditures average 34% of take-home pay. And if you live in a major metro area such as New York or San Francisco, your percentage may be even more. Mark's take on housing is that it is number one determinant of your lifestyle. Bum rank, he discusses calculating your LVR here. On top of that, a bigger house will likely be in a richer neighborhood. You'll feel pressure to buy nicer furniture, drive more expensive cars, and when the carpenter or plumber comes to fix a problem, I can tell you from my own experience, they will charge you more. Mark explores the idea of the cost of possession. If you're looking to reduce your living expenses, it only makes sense to look at the biggest nut. But downsizing isn't for everyone. In this essay, we'll walk you through the pros and cons. I'll also give you a brief checklist to help you with your decision. The cons of downsizing. It's emotional. Most of us develop some sort of emotional attachment to our homes. For some, the attachment runs quite deep. I'm not particularly sentimental, so the emotional part of downsizing was not a big issue for me, but it was for Tricia. It took her several years after the children were gone to even entertain the notion of moving. But I don't think it's gender specific. My son was devastated when we sold the house. He even flew back from Colorado to have one last look at his room. My daughter, on the other hand, said simply, "Where are you going to move to?" Naturally, any change produces anxiety. Dismantling a home is a significant source of worry. In fact, on the Homes at Rate stress scale, changing your residence is number 30 on the list of 43 stress-producing life events. Trepidation is perfectly normal. Moving sucks. Moving is a real pain in the butt. I'd forgotten because I hadn't moved in such a long time. And the last time I moved, I didn't have anything close to the stuff I have now. Look around your house. If you've been in it for any length of time, chances are you've accumulated enough possessions to make the prospect of moving more than a little daunting. But it gets worse. The move probably won't be like your last one because you're downsizing. It's a whole different deal when you move to larger quarters. This time, there won't be room for all of your stuff. You are going to have to get rid of things you've collected over the years. And many of these items will have emotional triggers, treasures, or trash. You will have to make decisions. It ain't easy. Those of you who moved recently know what I mean. Loss of prestige. Like it or not, the size of the location of your house confers a certain status. By definition, when you downsize your house, you downsize your prestige. I'm embarrassed to say that this was an issue for me when we contemplated downsizing. It seems shallow at any portion of self-worth tied to an object. Yet, by selling our home, I felt less successful. Rationally, we were doing it all for the right reasons. But for a while, it felt like a failure. It doesn't feel like that anymore. The benefits have been too great. But be prepared for a temporary feeling of inadequacy. Loss of family magnet. Before my father retired, my parents had a large home in Raleigh, North Carolina, where the whole family would gather for Christmas and other big occasions. I envisioned our house in Florida as serving the same function. It did so on several occasions. Selling that big house meant that we would no longer be able to gather under one roof. My children would no longer have a second home. It gave me pause, and it gave me yet a reluctance to move. Logically, it makes no sense to maintain a home for 365 days to be able to gather the family for, what, maybe 10 nights per year tops? And there is an upside to no longer owning the family magnet. You can consider other venues for family get-togethers. For example, this summer, the kids will be joining us for a week at the house we rented in Ox City, Utah. The pros of downsizing. And we've been talking about downsizing, and you know, just about that what we've been talking about in today's session has to do with downsizing a home. It also affects, and when you think about it, downsizing a business, because often a business will grow with the idea that it will attract more people. But what it does is it creates more expenditures, and you're not living within the means of what you can afford. So it's the same thing whether it's your home or your business. So Now, let's look at some of the other things that you want to talk about, which has to do with the pros of downsizing. For instance, it creates less stress. Downsizing will enable you to reduce your monthly mortgage payment or possibly eliminate them entirely. We had what I called a girlish mortgage on our big house. We hadn't gone in for refis and cash outs during the boom, so our monthly nut was not even close to one rush. I was surprised how relieved I felt when I no longer had a mortgage. I felt as though a burden had been lifted from my shoulders, a burden I didn't even realize was there until it wasn't. Maybe you'll still have a mortgage when you downsize, but the payment will be much smaller. And when your stress levels will decline proportionally, more income. The money you save on your mortgage will translate into the things you've always wanted to do. Reward yourself. Take a dream vacation. Join a club. Buy a new car or go shopping. Whatever. Add some fun to your life. Your income will also increase because of the money you'll save on maintaining your smaller home. The bigger the house, the more fleas on the dog, more to invest. Downsizing allows you to unlock the equity you have in your current home. For instance, when we moved, I paid off my mortgage, bought a smaller house with cash, and had money left over. You may be in a similar situation. You can invest the freed up capital to start generating a second income. And if you are already, add to your account to generate even more income, more energy. Think about the last time you switched jobs. You stepped out of your comfort zone. The same old routines were history. You were forced into new behavior patterns. Uncomfortable at first, certainly, but remember the excitement and energy that came as a result of getting repotted. That's the buzz you'll get from downsizing. When you confine a plant to the same old pot, it gets root bound and stops growing. The same can be said for many of us who've been in our homes a long time. We can stagnate. Downsizing and the changes that accompany it can open a new and exciting chapter in your life. More leisure. Think of the regular chores you have to do to maintain your home. Yard work and cleaning come to mind immediately. And if you are in an older house, as I was, there is an endless honey-do list. In any way you slice it, a smaller home will require less of your time. And that translates to more leisure time, more time doing the things you want to do, and less time doing the things you have to do. Less space. At first blush, this may seem like a threat, but stay with me. It is. When you have less space, you have fewer places to put things. You must carefully consider every purchase and decide if you have room for it. Or what can you get rid of to make space for it? In the end, having less space keeps you from making unnecessary purchases. More control. A few years ago, friends of ours sold their house and moved onto a boat. Not a mega yacht, a 40-foot cabin cruiser. It was pretty cool. We would visit them at the marina and enjoy cocktails on deck. Then we'd share a simple dinner and freshly caught fish. I asked him what the best part of living on the boat was. His answer surprised me. He said the best part of the boat living was reducing the number of his possessions. Really, I said? I thought that was the best part of boat life. No, he said, it's the best part. I used to have a lot of stuff. But after I moved to the boat, I realized that the stuff had me. I'm no longer a slave to my possessions. I feel like I'm starting over with a clean slate. I remember Tim's comments years later as we began to shed possessions to fit into the house half the size of our old one, and they began to make sense to me. A feeling of relief accompanies getting rid of the stuff. My world is far less clutter. I'm lighter, leaner, more on top of things, more in control than I've felt in years. Heck, I'm ready to downsize some more and move to a boat. Tricia says she'll visit me on calm day. Downsizing checklist. Right size. When you downsize, don't go too small or too big. The first thing to do is take an inventory of the rooms in your current residence that you're not using. A good rule of thumb is if you visit them less than 12 times a year, you're not using them. So we had a lot of those rooms in our old house. The kids' bedrooms and sitting room, Trisha's office, and the guest bedroom. Add up the number of square feet these unused rooms comprise, then subtract the square footage from the square footage of your current house. You now have the right size of your next abode. Next, make a list of the rooms you can't live without. For me, that was an office and a gym. For Tricia, it was a gourmet kitchen. Now you know how big your next place has to be and what rooms it absolutely has to have, what to get rid of. This is the hard part. It's easy to decide to get rid of what you don't need, but some stuff that you don't need has sentimental value, which makes it difficult to pitch. Expect some tears during this process. What worked for us was dividing our possessions into three categories: the keepers, the clutter, the clunkers, and the maybes. Unfortunately, you won't always agree with your spouse into which category each item should go. Your largest category will probably be the maybe. Tricia tends to be more of a pack rat. She's not a hoarder, but leans in the direction. It's at the opposite end of the spectrum. If I have any doubts at all about an item, I get rid of it. Needless to say, that's difficult. Difference in philosophy made for some spirited debate. I won some. For example, we got rid of some of her mother's china. She won some. We held on to the old chest, which we can't open, by the way, supposedly containing her grandfather's old woodworking tools. One solution to culling the maybe is to ask whether your children would want the item after you're gone. Put another way, do you want to get rid of it now, or do you want your children to have to throw it away? What to do with the stuff you get rid of? Offer the items to your children, but be firm. It's a take it now or lose it forever proposition. Have a yard sale. We made $1,500 one afternoon getting rid of our clunkers. Consider consignment shops. We sold our dining room chairs this way. We won't get anything up front, but when the item sells, you'll typically get 50 to 70% of proceeds. Meanwhile, it's not in your house. Put stuff up for auction. We use Leslie Hindman auctioneers to sell two old Chinese tapestries and a tea set I had inherited from my mother. Put stuff on eBay. I got rid of a stereo receiver and an old espresso machine using eBay. Craigslist. It's great for stuff that's too expensive to ship. We sold bikes and rattan furniture on Craigslist. As far as papers and photographs go, we probably all have too many of those hanging around. Consider having your photographs and important papers professionally scanned. We had Scan Cafe scan thousands of my photographs, and now they're sitting in a few DVDs. If you start feeling blue as you say goodbye to many of the things you've accumulated over your life, it's only natural to feel some sadness. Trust me, the funeral feeling will dissipate and excitement about what's next will replace it. Meanwhile, keep a running total of how much money you make selling your old stuff. Take the money and treat yourself to something special. Maybe a big night out on the town or a little vacation. Whatever it is, make it a celebration about you and your new, less encumbered life. And remember, that's exactly what we're talking about, is how to unencumber yourself. Because let's put it this way. When you look at who you are and the things that you totally want in life, guess what? Often when we're young, we think we need many, many, many things that we truly don't need. But when we're older, we look and we think, you know, we've accumulated a lot of stuff that meant a lot over the years, but does it really mean that much? Is it really all that important right now? So consider all of these things. That when you come down to what you plan to do in the future and how you want to live your life, you know, basically what we've been talking about is people who are under in the retirement stage of their life. And, you know, when you're young and you've got children, you accumulate things, you keep a lot of things over the years that mean something to you. But once they're grown and they're gone and they're out of the home, then guess what happens? Those things lose the meaning because the child is grown up, and those things don't mean as much to them anymore either because they're into new things in their life. Or maybe they have a family of their own. And as we were saying, look at what has meaning to you and plan it in a way that will help you grow as an individual. Because you know what? When you have less clutter, you have less stress. And we have to look at how we can reduce the stress of our lives. Simple reason. We want to live long, healthy lives. And as the article says, what was important to him? Having a gym. Well, if you don't have it in the home, or you live in a community where they have a gym, and the gym has all of the things that you could definitely use, then go to it. But if that local gym that's within that community doesn't, find a gym that has it, because you know what? You will meet other like-minded people that you can build a relationship with and have over time. And let's look at it this way. As a retiree, and you know, in today's marketplace, we may downsize, but we may never stop working, because with the Internet, with the access to the Internet, you can still generate an income, whether it's on eBay, whether it's through affiliate marketing, whether it's through network marketing, and all of those people that you have known over time, you can generate a relationship with, you can build the things that you truly want in life, and you know, it's all up to you. And it's how are you going to pass the strategy in your life, and do you know how to plan and put things together? And as we were talking about, you know, what are the benefits of downsizing, whether it's in business, whether it's in your personal life and all the things you have about you, you know, all of those things play into who you are as an individual, how you see yourself. And I would like to invite you to go to my website, and that website is the1personalcareercoach.com, and we can help you put together a strategy, whether it's downsizing your business or downsizing your personal life.